Good evening, guys. Another episode of Andre's Block Podcast with my co-host, JD, and the rest of the family. Y'all ready for tonight's episode?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask y'all again. Are y'all ready for tonight's episode?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure. Is Stephanie is I don't know if Stephanie checked in yet. I don't think she's here. Who's all available right now on this who's here? JD. I know JD's here. Attendance, please. Can I get y'all names?
Oh, I'm here. My bad. I was setting up the live stream so we could actually be live at the same time.
Okay, so Bree's here. Who else is here?
And I did it.
Who else?
Oh, I don't hear nobody else.
Line?
To be real.
Okay, it's us three. It's four people here. Four people's live. So I'm not really sure who's 817. Okay, well since 817 isn't saying anything. Hold on a second.
I don't know. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
But anyway,
nothing. Go ahead. Nothing.
Okay, well, since I don't know what's going on, since we're waiting for whoever to check in, I know y'all saw this, you know, what's going on with Bill Cosby.
I haven't seen the what happened today.
Oh, he got sentenced.
Didn't he get sentenced 3 to 10 or something?
Yeah, 3 to 10 years he got sentenced.
Yeah, I saw something pop up, but I didn't actually look into it. I didn't really care.
You don't really care?
He's so old, it really don't matter. Honestly.
I mean, like...
Right, it don't matter. I mean, he's like... He's 81, he's blind, and they gave him 3 to 10 years for the crime that he committed. I'm just waiting for Harvey Weinstein to go next to see what they about to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The industry's just a mess. It's just all these people is, you know, getting in trouble, and what's it called? Trump's still in office.
This is true.
So
the United States just it disappoints me time and time and time again.
I know. Hold on one second. Who is
even
on, 817? You're live. Can I get a name for 817?
Yo, it's Sean.
Oh, Sean. Okay, bye, girl. I'm muting you.
Okay.
I'm muting you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Okay. That she's gonna be tweeting. I don't know where Akayla is. I don't know where Stephanie is. I'm gonna give it like 10 minutes. So she even asked me personally to push it back 30 minutes. And she's late. Right. So, and I was rushing home. I was at White
Castle.
Dog,
I even got the live audio set up. What?
I know
what
you got it together. You actually got it together.
Look at it. I got the logo. I got the number.
Wait, let me see what Bree did.
And if they click, it get bigger, and you can see, mention our names. If you want to come in and chat, and then we'll tell you, press 1. I forgot to put that on there. But you could just tell them that when they mention you, say, hey, I want to put my little input. Well, boom, press 1. Tell me who you are. So I don't just know who you're sitting in there.
Oh, my God. Bree, that is so cute.
We got here going big.
Right.
I'm
not
trying,
even gonna be tweeted because we're not even together. We're not even together.
Right. Like, should I just pause it? Should I just stop it?
Girl, delete it.
I can stop it. I got it set up, so it'll just start back up and tweet it.
All right, well.
Let me see.
Well, in other news.
Hey, what's up with this judge or whatever?
With what?
Or, I guess, look like a judge. This other person that's, I guess,
Kavanaugh?
Going to court. Who? What's his name?
Are you talking about the Kavanaugh dude, whatever?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Like, all these white men are getting in trouble for sexual misconduct and stuff like that. So he's basically just another one. I don't even know who this guy is. I haven't done no research on it. But he's in some shit just like the rest of them. That's all I know from it. It's all these important people are. I swear, Hugh Hefner dying was probably the worst thing to happen.
I said it might be the best thing too, though.
No, I mean, you know what? It was. Okay, well, no, I'm not gonna wish that. I'm not gonna say that was the best thing that could have happened because you know he's dead. But considering everything that's been going on with all these, you know, these cases, it seems like he died and the portal just opened for all this shit to come out. Like, Hugh Hefner was like the pimp of the industry. And he was throwing them parties, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was throwing them parties, giving them drugs, spiking drinks. You know, he had some heavy hitters there, you know, doing stuff like that. And then now it's like, I don't know, man. Not enough white people is getting in trouble for it. And Bill, you know, the black dude, he's, like, getting the biggest heat for it, which I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Hey, on other news, though, I just want to know how a motherfucker overdosed on motherfucking Cheetos, hot Cheetos.
He didn't. I guarantee he didn't. I hope Cheetos sue him.
Who overdosed on hot Cheetos?
Lil Xanny Barr. Ain't this his name?
A whole bunch of them junkies up in there. Which one?
He married somebody that looked just like him or is dating somebody that looked just like him. He just looked like a little white boy.
He's a white boy with Z's under his eye. But this one.
Yeah, he looked like he's
talking about
Lil Xanny Barr, yeah.
Oh, he overdosed on hot Cheetos?
That's what he said. It ripped something in my stomach. He said.
Like, how hot were they?
Bruh.
I've ate hot Cheetos all my life.
Like,
unless they drop, like, sauce in there.
Right, like, how hot exactly were they for him to overdose on hot Cheetos? Or was, like, they sprinkled with, like, drugs or something?
He's lying. I guarantee it, because he didn't want his mom to find out he really out there. He freaky with the drugs. He probably was, like, swallowing cocaine or some shit. Swallowing Xanny Barr.
How many hot Cheetos did you eat? did you have multiple bags?
Can snort them. It's different. You'd be surprised. If you look at him, he looked like he break the bitches down and snort them instead of just swallowing them. But I mean, that could give you an ulcer.
He didn't say his stomach, though, or his nose. He said his stomach. Something ripped in his stomach.
No, you didn't hear the comment I said. I said he'd be swallowing his antibiotics. He said, well, that makes no sense because, you know, obviously he swallows pills, but, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I think he was lying. Oh, she here.
I'm not sure. Yeah, Akayla's here.
Y'all talking about Friday?
No, she's not here. So we really just chatting about what's the hot topic that's going on the timeline right now.
I knew it.
I said
that ain't sound like nothing about no credit or no bank loan.
Right. No,
yeah, we talking about hot Cheetos.
We talking about hot Cheetos right now.
Y'all,
I
went to this class yesterday.
Uh-huh.
This gym class, I'm almost about to die. Like, I'm so damn sore. I'm about to die.
So are you out of shape? So basically you're just telling me you're out of shape and you have to get in shape. Yeah. That's how I feel.
No
shit. That's literally how I feel. Yeah. You'll be fine.
I mean, no shit. That's why you go to the gym, don't you? Y'all some fucking Einsteins, huh? Slow down there, partner.
Okay, first of all, you're out of shape.
I mean, y'all got smart curves. I'm just letting you know I can go toe-to-toe gym. Shit.
You went to the gym. You got a good workout, now you're sore. Your body's not used to it. It's completely normal. Just be consistent and your body will get used to it. That's all I'm saying.
That's very true.
Girl,
don't overdo it.
You got to push harder. Fuck that shit.
No,
push harder. I go hard when I go to
push harder, but don't push it. The thing that people do is they push themselves so hard. It's not even that. They push themselves so hard, they wipe.
But you can't.
Like, that's why they say don't go 7 days a week. You could do like 4 or 5, but you got to take a break because otherwise when you first start, you would stop. Within a month, you would be done. Then 2 weeks,
been doing
this you'll
for
be done.
I lost 15 pounds, my dude.
I mean, but how many times have you done it before
pounds?
I stopped?
Oh, I know. I lost 15 pounds, but I do this. I do this
what?
Like you're talking. It's like mental disorder. I put on weight. And then I go hard in the gym, and I take it off, and I get real nice, and I put on weight again. It's like, for real, I need to see if I can get a check. Something
is it in the wintertime you put on weight?
No,
do you like hibernate?
It's any time. It's any time. It's any time.
We just need to get a check because she lose weight and put it right back on.
Put it right back on and then lose it again.
Yeah,
I'm going to lose it. Well, I can't put it back on. I'm in my last year. I'm about to turn 29.
So,
this is a lifestyle
just change the logos.
Yeah, you gotta
just say we on hold.
You kind of gotta get that weight off of you before you hit 30. Because once you hit 30, I heard that weight is like it's like impossible to come off. Like,
some stuff don't snap
do
back.
A lifestyle change. I'm not trying to be on no diet or no quick workout. I'm trying to change my life and be one of them people who just like casually go hiking. I want to be one of them. Like, why are you hiking? I don't fucking know. Because I can. Because I do.
Okay, you know what?
Saturdays. All
right, so check this out. So
we're homegirl.
She call in. We're gonna try to have a brief conversation about credit, business credit, and stuff like that. I know Akayla is very articulated when it comes to shit like this. So, do y'all want to chat real quick and be done, or do y'all want to go to bed? Which one y'all want to do?
Do y'all
want to go? I mean, that's up to you. I'm changing this right now. I'm taking that name off.
Okay,
and,
so. Okay, so real quick.
Yeah, it's up to y'all. I don't want to be talking
okay.
about myself, though.
I really just want to talk about business credit because I did a little research with JD last week on business credit, building your business. And I made, like, little mental notes, like, when you first establish your business, like, a legit LLC where you have, like, an EIN number, you're supposed to go and get you, like, a business bank account so you can start keeping track of cash flow, money and stuff that's coming in instead of using your own personal bank account. And because, JD, when we were talking, you were talking about keeping receipts and all that shit. Bro, we just need a regular
yeah.
bank account and just, you know, filter everything from there because that can get, like,
mm-hmm.
real messy. You're going to forget a whole bunch to, you know, traveling.
And, but, I mean, you still have to keep the receipts. You still do.
Well, yeah, you still got to keep
you
the receipts. You
keep copies of them. Like, you can put them on a big page, but you do have to keep them for bank records, just for anything,
right.
for IRS purposes, anything.
You
got to
keep it from your audit.
Right, but when
but,
you're
yeah,
literally using your personal bank account for business purposes.
Oh, don't do
it.
No, you don't do that.
Oh,
that's number one rule.
That's
you separate
that's
it. You separate
saying.
Your savings. You separate
don't
the. You separate all of that.
And pleasure.
And then,
it's
and then okay, so when you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, my bad. I had to scream at my kids right quick. But,
oh, okay,
like, also another thing is that you have to do. Damn, you made me lose my stupid train of thought. Another thing that you have to do when you do, like, actually go in and have to pay yourself, you mark that as a type of expense. You make sure that you actually mark that you paid yourself in those aspects. It helps you keep the checks and balances of your business. It's not just straight profit. You know that this came from over here. Look, y'all ready for this? I took this little
go
thing
ahead,
called
keep
a drink.
Going.
You don't
keep
have
going.
To. I just want to let y'all know you do not have to take a 4-year college. You don't have to pay a whole lot of money. There are programs out there that teach you to build your business. If you're really serious about building your business, businesses make America thrive. So motherfuckers will pay you to thrive. There's better business bureaus that'll pay you in your area to learn about these things, and it's free. You're sponsored. I learned all this stuff for free. I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, you have to have like a separate account. You have to make sure you know you have your expenses lined up. You have to separate your expenses, the ones that are going to be the ones that vary versus the ones that are expenses like your rent, your utilities. I can't think of the word for those type of – they're like fixed expenses. And then you also have to make sure you're monitoring, like you said, the receipts. You got to make sure you have your receipts for everything, for your transactions with your people, because people steal. People are trifling. You have to make sure you
mm-hmm.
have it with your companies. Make sure you have make sure you have copies of everything that you spend money on. And you also make sure anything personal out of your account, make sure you keep a copy of that as well, because at the end of the day, you could still get paid back for that type of stuff and putting it into your business. So if you have to basically monitor and get really tedious, and that's the hardest part and the most difficult part of having a business, and that's where you have to hire people and outsource because it kind of becomes a little too much. But you also want to make sure you're knowledgeable of these things. People skim you off the top. A lot of businesses go out of business. Actually, the number one reason businesses fail is because people are thieves. Between their customers or somebody they hired. No, mainly people they hire. People will steal from you. So you just got to make sure you have the ins and outs of everything and you know certain things and you monitor every little thing. And like Auntie said from jump, separate everything. Get your own account. And also when you're trying to get a credit line, you have to make sure your actual credit is good. You still have to make sure your debt-to-income ratio is good. Nobody's going to give you money. Anybody can say, I want to start a business. And how many people fail? So you still have to make sure your actual finances are straight and you have to make sure you understand how to monitor your finances. And you can start that with a simple budget plan each month. Literally line down your, like I said, your fixed expenses, your rent, utilities, child care, stuff that's going to keep coming. Then you line up debt. Debt is different because once it's paid off, it's done. Then you line up the things that vary. Get your nails done, entertainment, food, like certain things that vary, and you set up your own budget plan. Then you have, of course, your income coming in. Now, you should have enough left over, and that's your money that you put in your savings. That's your rainy day savings. You have to have a savings just to show that, hey, I can manage money. You don't have to put your savings into a regular smuggler bank either. You can put it into a different account in which you can get money back. You know, you can. There's online accounts. Hold on, give me one second. I'm going to look them up because what the heck people call an accountant told me about this. Hold on one second.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just throw that out there.
Yeah.
I got my notepad. Oh, no. Don't think I'm lying. I got my notepad that says the guy grant me serenity on it.
Yeah.
I be pulling it out and I take
notes.
We need to start doing minutes. We need to start doing minutes about our broadcast and stuff, like our minutes about what we actually discuss. We need to start doing that.
Oh, yeah. We do need to keep track.
It's an online account you can put your money into, and it gives you actual a percentage back as if you were putting it in stock. An All-American Bank. Look into those two. You don't have to put your money and just have it sit there. You want to have your money, like I said before, work for you. You want to be able to get money back for things that you do before you even invest in certain things. Also, insurance, like with businesses. You want to make sure you have everything ins and outs tied up before you even start accepting stuff from people. And you got to know your market of how much of a risk you are. And God forbid, whether it's food, or it's a resource that can hurt somebody potentially, you have to make sure you look into those things and make sure you have all that straightened out. Literally business, like you want to set up before you do anything, of course work on your credit, of course make sure you have separate accounts. But before that, you want a business plan. And it doesn't have to be solid. It could be a rough draft. You want to keep manipulating that business plan until it makes sense. You also want to have a financial portfolio set up that's totally separate. That's where I break down your money for marketing, your money for raw materials, your money for supplies and what you're going to have to use it.
Right,
exactly, a budget.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think business plan and budget are the same thing. It's not. They're separate. Now, there can be a financial portion
Let me cut you off. I hope people don't think a business plan and a budget is the same thing. Please don't tell me people think that that's the same thing.
There's people that do, but it's because people don't understand either.
Okay, go ahead, Akayla.
You'll be surprised at a lot of stuff. People just really chat a lot. People don't like to read. People literally take something that somebody else told them and go with it without doing any type of research. It sound good. They presented it well. A lot of people listen to me because I have good diction, just because I articulate myself well. I could be lying like shit. Unless you pick up a book and read for yourself. Like, you have to make sure you know your ins and outs of everything before anything. Make sure you're ready to do some work. It's not easy. You got to put in the groundwork. But like I said, separate from the budget, you want to make sure you have all that lined up. And then the business plan, when you present your financial part of your business plan is almost like if you're trying to sell not only your background and what you want to do, but if you're trying to sell off your business, if you're trying to have investors, you want to be able to present it. So you don't have to go through the ins and outs of your finances. You can literally say refer to budget plan. You don't have to go that much in depth, but your budget plan should have everything broken down to a T. Every single thing, point blank and period. And you have to make sure not only if you're using like materials, you're making sure you know your expenses of what you need and how it's going to divide up without something being cheap or something being taken off for. And also with loans, when you go to the bank and you're trying, you don't want to necessarily go to big corporation banks. You can go to your mom and pop bank. You can go to a side bank who they're trying to get their business up. They want good clients just as well as you. But you can't go to them with some BS. You got to go to them for real stuff. But you definitely have the potential chance to get a lower interest rate with them. And also credit unions. Don't ever sleep on credit unions. I actually don't even fuck with banks anymore at all. I don't like to be charged for my money. I think that's stupid. Like, what? So credit unions are a better way to go, for sure, with getting loans. As long as you have all your stuff set up, they work with you. You don't even necessarily have to have a perfect credit score. So I would say go more towards credit scores. You definitely want to watch your interest rate and how much they want for your loans and how long you have to pay off. And you definitely have to factor in, of course, the loan payment with your expenses. You definitely have to factor that in, because some people like to put loans to the side. You got to pay that off. You have to pay people back. You cannot put your – you have to – spend money to make money. You have to still, and even in the beginning, if you're not, if you're breaking even, that's great. If you still are underwater, that's, don't give up. Keep pushing, unless it's really just getting ugly and you didn't do anything right or your product just sucks ass. So with that being said, you just have to factor in everything. You make sure you pay everything back, separate everything, make sure your credit's good, make sure you align everything each month. You want a different month as far as your finances. You don't want to just keep it all together, and you want to keep track with the six-month radius to see your growth, to see where you're going, to see your profit, to see the difference.
Okay. See?
Y'all got questions? Because I'm going to just keep going.
Keep going. Oh, like you were saying, as far as getting starting a business account and stuff like that, it is important for you guys to make sure that your credit – you got to use your Social Security number to add leverage sometimes, to, especially if you don't have anything to show for with a new business account. Using your Social Security number, you got to make sure that your credit is good. If your personal credit isn't good, you're not going to be able to get much of nothing when you go and try to apply for a business credit card or a business loan or whatever, because they factor in not only your EIN, your Social Security number. Now, when you go into a partnership with somebody, like if you have a partner, I'm not sure if you can do a joint account with both of you guys. I don't know how they. I don't know if that works. How that works? Does that work? Do you know how that works, Akayla?
No, I don't. I don't know much about partnerships. Because I didn't want
to
go into one.
Okay, so I need to brush up on partnerships, because I got to, I don't have a partnership right now, but I have a business partner, so I have to see how we can both benefit from that. But
that in itself could be a topic, because there's so many companies you can do. It's so many different, like it's not a million, but they're just different. You need to know the difference. You need to know what how you're going
between,
into it, what you are.
Right.
For
so
tax purposes.
That does need to be a since we're diving in now, it's getting a little bit deeper. Like I was saying, and then you have to also to show the bank like maybe like a year or a couple years worth of actual statements and stuff like that, so that you're not really a liability to them. So you can't just start an LLC today and go to the bank and ask for a $10,000 business loan. No, you can't do that. And that's probably why a lot of people be thinking like, I can't get business loans. Well, how long you have your business? 2 weeks.
How does your business plan look? How does your financial
right.
You're selling
do, okay.
your shit right there.
Do you have a business plan? Do you even?
They don't even know
do
their
you,
own
did
numbers.
Even, did
exactly.
you even get a LLC for your business, or did you just start a website? Because most of these people, I'm telling you, have just started a website and calling themselves a business, and they have no official paperwork on anything that they're doing, period.
And you can't
just
do that, y'all.
Out there.
That's like,
taken.
Like the IRS, Uncle Sam will come and get you. Like, oh God, they will tear. You have to make sure that you're very tedious in everything. I wanted to start a daycare business, and I'm actually on the fence about it because so much stuff that comes with daycare, it's to the point where it's like, Jesus, is this worth it? And you have to realize your rate with as far as like your risk level with certain things. But as far as taxes, you have to make sure you know what type of business you're going into. There's there's loopholes that can help you that are beneficial to you. That can help you within as far as getting audited, as far as how much you owe each year. It's so much that you can do. So you have to know, like Auntie said, what type of business you want, your business plan, your financial portfolio. Definitely have to have money put to the side, because the bank wants to see that you can invest in your business while you're asking them for money. You also have to make sure your credit is A1. You have to make sure it's established that you're trustworthy. Because I'm not going to say your credit has to be perfect, especially within, like, the economy right now. People are getting more loans. The issue is your interest rate is a little higher. Like, your interest rate is not a little higher. Your interest rate is decent. And that's the way somebody will give you a loan, but you're paying triple what the original cost was. So that's what'd you say?
I said that APR can be a bitch.
Exactly. So it's like you definitely want to work on your credit. It is.
That's another thing.
Definitely.
You don't have nothing. They're going to charge you out the ass for it. Just like we were talking about last week. You know, people ain't got no credit, and they go and get a car, and they paying $600 on a car that's like $23,000 off the lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. And people always make an excuse like, oh, well, I'll pay it off quicker. Bro, you can't even afford the payment. How you going to pay it off quicker? That doesn't make any sense. You're going to default a couple of the months out of the time that you're supposed to even pay it off. So how are you going to pay it off quicker? Now you got all this interest. Now you got these late fees and shit like that. Like, you guys got to be smart. It got to be realistic. Like, if it just sounds like it doesn't make sense, like I was saying on another episode that got deleted, which I'm still so sad about, that entrepreneurship episode, I'm still pissed. You guys, like, if you're going to conduct business, you should conduct business in a urban zone area, because the taxes are a lot cheaper than you going to the suburbs thinking, like, oh, I'm going to go to the suburbs, and my target audience, my target market, you know, it might be niggas, but you going to the suburbs because you think it's safer. But you're paying all this money in taxes, and you can't even break clean at all. Like, all your money that you're making, you got to go and pay taxes. Like, taxes is not cheap in the suburbs at all. That's why white people going to the urban areas to do their businesses, because their urban zone areas, their taxes is lower than them building up in the suburbs. That's another reason why they're you know, coming into the community and building up. They're not paying that much to do anything but run their business and pay their little bit of taxes. It might be 2% or 3%, and that's it. And everybody's on the flock, so they breaking clean. It's just business. Somebody's going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something. But hold on. Go, JD,
because
I've been talking a lot, and I'm at a long time.
A lot of people don't understand when it comes to business. People be like, oh, I can start a business for myself. But business, yes, you can have an idea by yourself, but when it comes down to actually starting a business, you need more than yourself to actually be able to start a business. Because a lot of people think, oh, I can pay this to get started. But if you don't have an idea of how you're going to get it started, who's going to help you with certain things, you're not going to be able to just get it off the ground right away, for one. And it's going to be hard for your business to actually succeed to the point that you want it to, because you're trying to do everything. With everything that y'all were talking about when it comes down to the expenses and trying to keep up with everything, no one person
can. Yeah,
the
thing is, people don't even, like, sit down and...
Oh, wait, hold on, wait. Is that Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute, girl. You just came in and just started talking. Wait a minute. All right, y'all. We finally got Ranger on the line. And
right.
It was a misunderstanding. But no, can I send this? Can y'all shut up? Damn. Thank you. Okay, so I was talking to her. It was a miscommunication with the time. She thought it was Central. I'm on Eastern, and I think she's in Cali.
Oh,
are you in Cali?
God.
Yes.
We got to get these
right.
time zones together.
It's a mess, right, and I had to push it back because, look, it don't matter, but she's here, and we can continue effectively with our conversation as soon as Stephanie interrupted. Stephanie, go ahead and speak your piece to whatever you was trying to correct.
I was just mentioning that, you know, I do work in banking, and I do see that in the community, no one sits down and really budgets themselves or really, like, sits down and observes their expenses, and that prevents them from being able to, like, build a solid foundation, especially when they're business owners. I noticed that a lot of business owners don't really sit there and, like, try to figure out their cash flow and begin their business credit, because they can't even manage their own personal credit. And a lot of the times that happens where they get in these loans where they're high interest and they're making their payments, but they're not even paying the loan off because they didn't sit back to really begin at first to build a solid foundation and start really from the bottom, instead of just buying this huge car loan like you mentioned before that they can't pay it off for years and years. And they don't understand why. They don't even understand the, like, concept of the APR, the loans, the variable. They don't understand it at all. And so that's where they need to really sit back and realize, like,
can
you
I
need to at least be able. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I thought you were done. My bad.
No, go ahead, Jazz. It's fine.
So what I was going to say, backing up, talking about basically that beautiful Phantom episode, May It Rest in Peace, where we were talking about basically buying up the hood and investing back in your community. You can also get grants with going into lower urban communities or, you know, more impoverished areas, and you can you can turn your business into a nonprofit and basically have people give you money to invest in the hood. You can change your business up and become less out of pocket.
Yes, they offer grants. There's always applications going around for any bank that you see that you're in, the Bank of America, all those big banks, Wells Fargo, they all give grants to nonprofits. And it's money that just sits there and it doesn't get, you know, taken by anyone because no one takes advantage. I recently had the Chamber of Commerce here in town apply for a grant, and they were able to get some money to be able to fund the mixers and all that stuff, where it's just business to business, like, you know, growth to be where you have to learn how to, you know, work the system, like you said, make the man pay for the things because the money's just sitting there. They built recently a house also through a grant. They built a house for, it's going to be like a school for kids, you know, that are at risk, and they're building it from the ground up. And it's just grants that were actually someone sat down, put their work in, and did what they had to do. And it's reinvesting back in the community.
Also, is there a way, just to ask a question for everybody out there, is there a way that you can refinance loans as well? Instead of just getting a loan and just have to,
refinancing like home mortgages, right? Like, so when you're going to refinance your mortgage, you have to make sure that you're not upside down in your loan. So what you do is you calculate the loan to value. So what's the area's home worth? What do you owe? Because if you're upside down or close to being upside down in your loan, it's going to be harder for you to get a good loan that's going to actually be sustainable over the years. Because what happens is these, like, companies, they look for loans that are like that, and they kind of manipulate it into being something that's not right for the consumer. So when you're going to look at refinancing, you have to manage all your credit and make sure that it's, like, the utilization's low. Make sure your debt-to-income ratio is not over 40%, because those are things that they look at that gives you a prime interest rate. Those are what the important things are. So if you want to refinance your home, you should figure out if you can have some equity in it. Maybe do a refi cash out. Make sure that you can use that cash to maybe start a business or do something, build another or invest in another home. So things like that is what you have to look at depending on what area you're at. Now, you guys are on the East Coast, so East Coast property is pretty steady. It stays pretty steady. What is, like, what's, like, the average home where you guys live, like in New Jersey?
Oh, well, in New Jersey, well, we all live in different places, but in New Jersey, the average price for a home is an upward of $300 to $500, and that's just in my neighborhood where I live.
Right.
And the housing is not
that's
even,
similar to
you
my
know.
Neighborhood. Yeah.
You know, you
so
know how they look. All this money, and they
depending
just look.
On. Depending on when you bought, you know, your home, and depending how old your loan is, that also comes in play when you're going to look at a refinance. If you bought your home when rates were very low, rates are rising right now. We're in a rising rate. So when I started banking 5 years ago, they told us that prime rate had not risen in 5 years. Now it's risen almost 2 points in, like, the past 3 years. So that affects also the rates of, you know, the houses, because if you got your home 5-6 years ago, you're probably sitting at 3%, which is pretty good. Thing is, if you got to have equity in your home, then you can get a home equity, and you can build your equity off of that instead of refinancing your whole home, because you have to pay for closing costs and all that. Sometimes that's not the viable way to go, but you can still use your home as an asset by getting a home equity, which is something that, you know, lies on the value of your home. So it doesn't make sense to refinance if you are upside down in your loan or close to that, and that all your other credit stuff is not under control, because then you're not putting yourself in a position to have a good rate. So you're kind of, you know, doing something for no reason.
I wanted to also to add on the fact, am I on mute? No. Okay, so when you refinance a loan, they're not obviously going to tell you this, but whatever you have left on the loan that you're refinancing, they add that to your new loan.
Yes. So if you're going to refinance, let's say you have a $20,000 loan and you're going to refinance to get a lower rate. Now, they're just going to pay the people that you owe, and they're going to give you a lower rate if you have good credit standing and it works, you know, because there's no point in getting a refinance if you're not standing right on your credit. There's no point in even applying. So that's why you got to make sure that you're on track, because you can refinance to your benefit if you are in a credit position when you got the loan, auto or home or whatever, and your credit wasn't so good, but you've improved it, then that's when it makes sense to refinance. But if you can't keep up with your credit and you are still struggling, they're not going to offer you, you know, better rates for what you're sitting at. Now, it's good to consolidate for sure. If you have credit cards, you know, 2-3 outstanding balances, it's better to make that into a loan. Your credit will go up higher once you've paid off the loan instead of taking forever to pay off the credit cards.
Now, okay, so what did we go over the leverage, existing credit, and consolidating credit to have more purchasing power? Did we touch on that at all?
I don't think we've touched on that, no.
Purchasing power?
Yes, so to have purchasing power, are you talking about business or personal?
Personal.
Okay,
and business. You can do all of it.
Perfect. So for personal, let's say you're sitting on, depending what kind of credit you have, because you have to sit down and analyze your credit. You have to realize what's in higher interest, what's the outstanding debt. The utilization is very important. To have good standing credit, it's always good to be under 40% of your utilization. That means that if your limit's $2,000, you should owe less than $1,000. So just kind of keep a steady, you know, pattern like that with all your credit. If you have lines of credit, you have to make sure that you're not paying so much interest and that you have a good – that way you can move credit card debt to lines of credit. Lines of credit are generally lower rates than credit cards. They start at about 10% when credit cards start at 20%. Now, people like to sign up for all these, like, retail cards. Those are really dangerous because they have very, very high interest rate. And those are almost like – useless, because it's just putting you in a position to buy more things that you don't want. And honestly, if you want to have these good credit standings, like, you just can't do that. You know, you have to manage. So now, speaking on the personal side, like, you just have to manage your expenses and you have to manage your credit ratio. That's it. The magic number is 40. So 40 utilization, less than 40%. And your debt to income should be less than 40%.
Yes, we're here.
We hear you.
Yeah, she's finished.
Why didn't nobody answer me?
Because I didn't put you in on live. Let her finish. Damn.
So with the business, that's when it gets a little trickier, because depending on what kind of business you are trying to start, whether it's an LLC, a sole prop, or a corporation, your personal credit is still kind of a guarantor on your business credit. Now, the thing is, you need to open a business account, a deposit checking account, a savings account, and you need to show a positive cash flow with your business so that you're kind of building like a story of how you're going to maintain the credit once you start. Now, if you can't maintain that positive cash flow, you know, throughout the month, and you can't prove that, it's going to be a little harder to start to begin to ask for business credit, because that's what they're going to pretty much focus on. How's your cash flow? What are you bringing in? Deposits? What are you paying out? If you have employees, if you don't, so you begin to start using credit for your business. So if you have merchandise that you have to buy, if you have gas in your car, if you buy a company car, if you just buy a white car, you can have a company car for it and you can write it off on your taxes. So that's something that people don't, like, you know, think about. It is a lot more work when you're a business owner, but it's a lot more fruitful because you can work it. And so when you start to build your business credit, you get a credit card, you start to get a line of credit, and you start to expand, you now have purchasing power under your name and your business name along with it, whether you have partners on it or not, which is totally viable. The stronger, you know, the partnership is, both customers, the business owners, the better it is for the company. So that can't happen if you can't prove a solid personal credit foundation, though. That's the thing. It goes hand in hand. So it's pretty much inescapable, but if you work the system, I've seen it be so, like, fruitful for people, because it's just That's the way it is. Business interest rates are so much lower on credit cards, on loans and lines of credit. I've got a customer, got a car loan through their business for 4%. And it's like, they're not offering that at the dealerships. They're not offering 4% for a business truck. Like, it was just insane. $80,000. And it's like nothing. But you can have that power, and it's just, you have to work it. You just have to work at it.
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. You've been
I've been dying to say shit for a minute, but the shit was all fucked up. Back to homes. Your home, when you purchase a home, is a depreciating value. It's the same as a car. Just like you said, if you have a business, loop that shit in so you can get a cheaper interest rate and also have it as an investment. If you can turn your home into a business or make it as a setup like you work predominantly from home, do that because it can help you on your loan. It can help you, again, with tax purposes. Once you start a business, you lose certain things unless you know how to manipulate the system into which you can gain things back. You can have things work with you versus getting audited or getting spanked by Uncle Sam each year. So, once again, your house really – this is why the housing market crashed like a motherfucker, because a lot of companies manipulate people into thinking that once you buy a house, it's this huge asset. No, it isn't. It don't unless you're in an area where it's going to triple, it isn't the same, because these houses that tripled in prices and quadrupled, they were back from like the 80s and the 70s. They were back when houses were cheap. At this point, if you're paying that much for a house, you have to make sure that you can get your money's worth for it, because a lot of people get to a point where you just want to buy a house. So you have this high interest rate or you have this high loan amount, and when shit happens, God forbid another recession, God forbid you lose your job, God forbid any type of unexpected cost happens, and you don't have it, and you're right neck and neck, there's nothing you can really do. And once that bad boy's in foreclosure, it's hard to come back from that. And nobody wants, even though bankruptcy is an option, nobody wants to file bankruptcy if it isn't necessary. So definitely everything that you do, look at it as a business move versus as a luxury move. Look at everything you can as a write-off. Look at everything you can to go towards that you're utilizing it for business. Get tedious with every single thing you do, down to the pens you buy, the gas you buy. You gotta, if your tire blew the fuck out on the way to go meet a client, guess what? Whose dime that's on? That's your company's dime, not yours, as far as regarding your business. And make sure you know exactly what you're doing and what you're spending it on, as far as everything that you need, as far as materials and whatever goes towards it.
Okay, I agree.
That's it.
I hope y'all listening, because this is important for all y'all big cartel business owners and shit trying to get your business off the ground, selling them damn T-shirts. I'm trying to see. Hold on 1 second. Stephanie, do you have anything else that you need to include?
I have a question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I also wanted to mention that. Oh, go ahead.
Who got a question?
Go. No, it was about what y'all brought up. With when you're trying to get a credit card, or if you're trying to get a joint business account, can you do that where both owners can have the same access to the account?
Yeah. So what you can do is, if you're going to build an LLC, you have to create it to where you guys both have owners and you guys have control over the entity. Because when it comes to building a more complex entity like a corporation, that's when it comes where there's like chairs and, you know, there's CFOs, all that comes in. But that's once you get more deeper into your business and once it's more complex, because there is a lot less liability when you're a corporation. But an LLC is just as good, and it gives equal partnership to two or three parties. You know, it could be multiple people. Whether a sole prop, it's just one person, and the sole prop is usually based off your social, so it's a lot more liability because they could come after you if something goes wrong with the business, which is, I highly advise, if you're going to start a business, do an LLC, because it's just the viable way to go. But I also wanted to mention that based on all those write-offs, that's very true, because if you're paying yourself a salary, you know, from your business, you separate, you know, the business and you separate the expenses, where everything becomes a write-off, and, you know, you don't get bit in the ass with those taxes. Because I also have customers who have, you know, checks that come in, but they also have cash that they don't report. So you can also, you know, obviously you're not going to report everything if you don't have to, and cash is, you know, sometimes something that you could just do for yourself, side jobs.
because cash doesn't have to be reported. You don't put that in your account. But if, as long as you can report, like, checks, steady checks, that's what they want. They want to be able to verify that you have income coming in. And that's the way that they're going to base their credit, you know, portfolio off of you based on what interest rates that you will be able to get. I always highly suggest that you look into lines of credit over credit cards, because you can get cash off the lines of credit and versus the credit card cash advance. People always buy into that. They get cash off their credit card, and that's like 27%, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I never do it. I don't care how desperate I am, no. No, that interest, and it hits you right then versus, like, when you, like you said, have a line of credit, you have that time where you have that grace period where if you pay it off in time, you're not going to get hit with interest at all. But if you take
the
cash out of that,
line of credit payments are also just 1% of what you borrow plus the interest versus credit card payments is the accumulated interest that you get each month, not spread over, you know, a period of time. That's what people don't understand, too, but they're like, line of credit, you know, what is that? You can literally put it in your account and pay your bills if you need to, if you're going through it. But you need to set, you know, you need to set yourself when you're good so that you're able to have that when it's an emergency. It's so valuable.
So I have
Okay, real quick.
You go first.
I was. Thank you for giving me the outlet. so... When you have an LLC with a business partner, if you already answered this, please just answer it again because my mind is on another universe right now. You can open up a business account with both of your information. So let's say my credit is not good, but his credit is good. And I can use either social or I have to literally use both of our socials. Like, how does that work? How do people get by?
You could ask because every bank is different probably, but if you open an account with your partner and they have good credit and you have semi-okay credit, you could possibly choose that solely they will be the guarantor on the credit. But
okay.
The thing is that you can have the opportunity, I would take that opportunity to rebuild yours so that you're able to also do that under your business name too. That way it's viable for everything. Because if your partner has good credit, might as well build off of that if it's possible, and you can be like an authorized signer on that. But if they're going to use both of yours, like regardless, it just depends on the bank and what, you know, what the loan stipulations are. So it's possible that it could be just off of theirs, or it's possible they would want both.
Okay, so they usually work with first-time business, what's that shit called? Somebody help me. First time business loans, first buyers business, whatever that shit's called.
Yeah, like first time buyers. Yeah, or first time.
Yeah, yeah. They usually have programs for that, right?
So they have different types of loan types for small businesses that have just started, and you can apply for that. But honestly, if you're not able to show like I mentioned before, the steady, you know, cash flow coming in, it just doesn't put you in a prime position because no one really wants to lend to businesses if it's not going to be viable. Like, banks are just so, they're stingy right now. They're very stingy with business, I've noticed, because they want to be able to see that you can actually, you know, produce something. So that's why, you know, you need to start small, like a business credit card. Always start small because if you can build your credit standing that way, it's a little goes a long way because you're quickly going to show that you can be able to have purchasing power on your business just with a simple credit card. And there's a bunch of, you know, different business credit cards everywhere. I think American Express might be like the most viable one with like their customer service, but it's just you got to be able to research everything. But if you don't have, you know, your credit steady, just try to fix it. A secure card is very easy to obtain, and it works. If you put in the, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of, you know, using that as a tool to rebuild it, because it's totally viable.
Okay.
And also, like you said, with credit card, make sure that you're getting bonuses and you're getting points again, because you still get the same thing with the business as well. You do get rewards for doing a good job with your business. And personally, if you, like, once you've built out everything and have your projection, you don't want to jump, like, straight into a loan, like she said, because you don't know your profit yet. You don't know how much you need. You don't know, unless you know you have a solid plan. There's not many people who definitely have a guaranteed plan to make money. It's very shaky because it's your market, and unfortunately people are fickle. So even if you think you have a solid plan, which everyone does, thinks they have a solid plan, it may not be that way. You want to see at least a 6 month to 12 month growth to make sure you know that you're okay and secure with certain things. Do as much as you can with trying to raise money in different ways. There are so many grants out here. There are so many, like I said, you brought up the commerce. Go to your city councils. They will tell you how much money your city has available for you. They will tell you how much money they're trying to invest in local businesses. For instance, I'm in the 757 area, Norfolk, Hampton, Portsmouth, Virginia Beach, Suffolk, Newport News, or I might have fucked something up. But Portsmouth is like, it's tied up in with the military because we have the shipyard. So it doesn't get as much funding, but Norfolk, they have a lot of business ventures that they're trying to do, and they're trying to basically fund small businesses. So you have to know the growth of your city. Those city council meetings, they're for you. That's your money paying for them. The individual projects that I can't think of the name of it, that cities do as well, sit in on that to see which areas that you know that they're going to invest into more.
I actually build an ambassador committee with the Chamber of Commerce to get more people aware of what the Chamber of Commerce does for the city and what it can do for the businesses. And honestly, there's a small business here in town that thrives off of their networking using the Chamber of Commerce, and it's a small nominal fee for the year, but it really maximizes your potential, and you're meeting other business owners that can, you know, help you and elevate you, because you're just surrounded by all these people that want to build growth. And the city councils are a part of the Chamber of Commerce. The mayor attends the meetings also. So it just puts you out there to really maximize your potential and get your name out there.
Exactly. And you could also go to networking events. I learned a lot about this during my time when I was unemployed. I pretty much went to all types of networking events. I took a small business course and socialize with people, get to know people, get your name out there, get your brand out there, because that's where you build your network. You're in a room full of people who have the same ideas as you, who are most likely trying to come up, and they need to utilize your resources and vice versa. So you could actually build your own network and come up with these people versus sitting here trying to do everything by yourself and trying to figure out everything on your own, because it's hard writing certain grant letters. There's a certain way that you have to do that. So to have somebody who is knowledgeable of that information is very beneficial to you in building your team. A lot of people I notice who are within businesses, they're kind of like apprehensive of working with different people, which is understandable because people are shady, people are shiesty, people BS a lot. But when you get with people who are really about their shit, you know it. You know the difference. You know the projected growth. People will show you what they're talking about versus talk about it. Stop taking everybody's word for what they say. Make them show you, because they can and they're capable of it. Because just like what Stephanie said, as far as going to a bank, they're stingy. They don't want to give you money just to watch you blow it. So make sure you have everything detailed down to the T with your budget plan and with your business. You have to show that growth, and you have to know you definitely have it coming in. Because once you take out that loan, guess what? You can't just give it back. It doesn't work like that. Like, oh, I'm done with it. Just kidding. You have to, once you use it, you have to pay it back, interest and all. So you want to make sure you're not in a situation where not only you're losing your business, but you're losing your life. Because it could balance over into, of course, affecting your personal credit again, something that you have to build up for your business. So make sure you have, like, you dot your I's and cross your T's with everything.
CPAs, go out to different people that are in, you know, the industry, and do your research. Do your market research. Know, you know, if what kind of business that you're trying to open. Make sure that you know how many businesses are similar around there in the area, so that you don't stonewall yourself and then come into some, you know, conflicts where you're just like, what did I do? Why? Because you just didn't take the simple task of, you get excited, and like you said, everyone thinks they're doing good. Everyone thinks that they have what it takes, but sometimes they really don't. So having that backup and knowing that you're going to be good, that's the best way to do it, or else you're just going to be stuck, and it fucking is terrible. I've seen it take over people's just everything, their homes even.
I want to ask you something else. I just can't remember what it was. It was like way when we were about, when Steph and I were about to ask the same question, but I can't remember it. I felt like it was good.
Like y'all was saying about grants, I wanted to also just piggyback real quick. Y'all, wherever y'all live, I'm telling y'all now, y'all city is sitting on nothing but fucking money.
All right? Uh-huh.
Y'all need, y'all really need to, I ain't saying get involved with the community and shit, but if y'all want to start these, you know, these little basement businesses and, you know, have all these creative ideas, put that shit on paper and go deliver it to your county or whatever, whoever the grant office or I don't even know how you go get grants, but Google it, all right? They sitting on money. They just they don't know what to do with it, period. And it's a whole bunch of people out here with, like, these great ideas and shit, but y'all sit, you know, on the internet and, you know, y'all either scamming people or, you know, selling T-shirts. Like, y'all have a better mind than what y'all doing. Go and think of something and go and get that free money.
The bigger picture.
Ain't nothing better than free money to start any type of business that you want, period. I know for a fact I be getting emails and stuff. Like, out here, they be offering, like, they were offering this program for young entrepreneurs. But, you know, they obviously had to make some money to even be considered for these classes. And they literally teach you how to build your business a lot better than what you're actually doing. It's so many resources out there. I know we were supposed to be just talking about banking loans and stuff like that, but we also talked about business. It's a bunch of resources out there to help y'all get to the next step to what y'all want to do. A lot of y'all just literally just, I'm going to start a business. And I'm just going to hope for the best. I'm going to build a team. Like, nah, it's like, it's literally so much work y'all have to put into this if you want to build your business. You have to literally talk to people. You got to go to networking events and stuff like that. And for the love of God, please get some business cards, all right? Don't be giving people your damn Twitter account or give people your phone number.
Write it on a piece of paper.
There's electric business cards, too, if you want to go
like,
green.
I'm,
there's
like,
electric business cards.
Right.
Y'all can go and build you some business cards on Staples. They start at $9.99, get you $2.50 when y'all go places. I'm so serious. Go, when you go places and you talk to people, like, get them your business card. You know what I'm saying? It don't even matter if it ain't even nothing that y'all talked about. Just networking is everything. And another idea,
and
if y'all really want to move your business, hold on real quick. If y'all really want to move your business, I'm telling y'all, I'm going to order me some eventually, but get y'all some stickers with y'all information on it and stick it in the bathroom, on the walls, different places so people can, like, I'm telling you, people's minds is like a one-track mind. They're going to see the sticker, and they're going to be like, damn, what's this? This sticker creative as shit. And they're going to call you. Like, they might not even need you for nothing, but they might call you. It's just market yourself anywhere that you can possibly market yourself to help build your business. And I'm telling you, it's nothing but late night. I have sat on the phone with a couple people till like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll be at work at night, and I'll be on the phone till like 4 o'clock in the morning discussing, not like building and trying to incorporate ideas, trying to make everything make sense. Like, you can't just literally say, I want to start a business and not do the research, figure out how you're going to move it, finances, budgets. How, like, it's so much that goes into it, and y'all really just scratching the surface. I mean, a website, cool and all. Anybody can build a website. I mean, a website, only like $19 a month. It might be free if y'all don't want to pay for that. Like, anybody can do that. Y'all just, you know, it's so much out here that y'all can do.
I got to touch on that, though.
You know,
I'm going to be honest.
Hold on, wait.
People got to stop taking the cheap way out. Because those websites are terrible. People take the cheap way out. Like, invest in your dream. Even if it costs you a little bit more. Those little Wix websites and all that stuff, it's nothing into it. And every time I...
A mess. Like, yeah, they be all over the place. But, you know, like...
Don't even spell check or proof.
Right. It's levels to how you want to do things. Like, I just got my first set of business cards. I don't like them. But it's set. They're going to get better as time go on. But it's just taking the steps to do what you got to do to get to where you got to be, and you're going to start investing a little bit more into what you're going to do. But the problem is y'all just do it and y'all don't, you know, invest in it accordingly. I was going to say something else, but Bree cut me off, and I just totally fucking forgot. So I don't know what else to say because, like, I don't know. So, did y'all got anything else to say?
We could do a separate marketing podcast if y'all want to, because there's different ways of getting traffic for marketing, not just your usual website, radio, TV show.
Oh,
you
yeah,
could be
yeah.
cold.
Oh, no, it's
you could do surveys.
Ways.
You could, it's so many different ways to for free to market your business. Like, you don't have to pay a lot of money. You don't even have to pay a marketing agency.
No, you don't have to do. Oh, what I was going to say is, like we touched on last week, the 9-to-5 shit is getting old. All right, I'm at the point to where I'm like, I'm not doing this 9-to-5 shit like my parents. This shit is boring. I'm sick of it. And they're not either dying quick enough or they're not fucking retiring. All right. So if y'all see what's going on with the trend with the baby boomers not getting the fuck up out of here quick enough, y'all, starting your own business is ideal. But y'all have to put the work into it as well to actually start building it. So, you know, I mean, if you got a 9-to-5 right now and you got a dream, do both, period. I don't know how long these jobs, I know jobs don't always be here, but I don't know how long it's going to take for, you know, millennials to fill them. So y'all need a plan B. Y'all really need a plan B. This, I don't know what's going on with the future, but it don't look good for corporate America. If y'all got anything else?
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Oh, so
thank you for joining us.
Sorry.
Yeah, I could talk about this. I could talk about this for days.
I was in my corporate life job. I'm one of those.
My personality isn't for corporate. I don't really.
I'm one of those corporate, you know, people. But honestly, I want to use it to my advantage. I'm going to start going to school, having the company pay for it. So I just got to
yeah, girl.
A they can offer me, yeah, because it's got to go one way or another.
Girl, we all corporate in a certain degree right now. We're talking about coming up and changing it before it becomes too late. Before you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, the way corporate America, they on some like psyche, like gangster shit. Like, oh, we utilize you as soon as you get a couple years from retirement and cut your ass off. Now this whole job that you thought you had security with. So now when you're early in it, just like she said, utilize. The reason I'm working out too, my job pays me to work out. Job gives me points to work out. It's free money to work out. Get the fucking shape.
Yeah,
y'all.
My new company is gonna
get it from your insurance too.
Yeah, they're gonna give me.
You
a
get
a
discount.
More,
like what?
Yep.
I think my job does a kickback of pretty much like 70%. No, it's Blue Cross. If you have Blue Cross Blue Shield, people don't really ever look into all of the benefits, even counseling, therapist, speech therapy, state insurance. People don't get state insurance cover chiropractic and speech therapy. So all these people with stutters who had what's her face talk so fucking good. Everybody who thinks she talk good, go to speech therapy. Work on yourself. Use your insurance. We pay for it, and we think it's just for going to the doctor. And it's so many other things that it does cover.
I wanted to say something about stuff, what she said earlier about the internet. And she said, y'all just hop up there and scam people. You know what the fuck I do in my corporate America job, which I love right now. I ain't gonna lie, I love my fucking job. I sit at the computer. I'm doing a first-time homeowner's buyer's course. I just learned how to break down your credit report to a T, what every single symbol fucking means. It's free. It's free, y'all. Everybody thinks she is so smart. I just read free shit all day, every day. That's all you have to do. And even if you don't want to, even if that's not the way you retain information, YouTube, get audiobooks, go
podcast
to your local library. You don't have to sit up here because people love to say, I don't have time. I am a single mother of two fucking kids. If I got time, you got time. And not even just that, you don't feel like putting in the brunt work. You have to. Every person you see who's successful, they worked hard to get there. Period. Whether it's on some, it's Illuminati. Guess the fuck what? It's still hard work.
They failed too.
Exactly.
They for sure failed. They took those failures and they turned them around.
Exactly. And that's why I said don't give up in the beginning of your business. If you're breaking even, that's great. If you're not making a profit, that's normal. That's the way it goes at first because you're still balancing out your finances. And if you are making a profit, don't go crazy. Just like Stephanie said earlier, reinvest that money. Do not start spending money crazy. Like, that was one of the things in the business plan class that I took. Do not trick up that money.
Your own retirement.
Say it again.
you got to open your own retirement account if you're a business owner, because if you're not going to have a company to back you up, which you should not rely on a company to back you up, you're going to need to set yourself up and put stuff around. Research savings account, research CDs. Like, people don't want to, like, lock their money, but guess what? It's not making shit sitting there, and it's going to be worth less tomorrow. Like, just fucking do it.
Ruth, IRAs, like, y'all don't understand how big, like, for real, life insurance is a sleeper.
People
sleep on life insurance and what it can do for you. And I'm excited to have
Thanks for starting this conversation, because I truly forgot to schedule that episode. So thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Other than that, Stephanie, even though you were late, I do still appreciate you coming and the conversations that we've had leading up to this day. Congratulations on your new job as well.
Congratulations. And milk that shit till the end. Milk it to the end. Pay for school. Get it all. Whatever they pay for, get it. And that's everybody. Get what you can out of your job and go before they let you go.
That's literally what you guys have to do with everything. All these jobs is if you're an at-will employee. So they can let you, they can fire you at any point, they can let you go at any point, and just because they fire you don't mean you're going to get unemployment, all right? They will cut that off real quick, all right?
And it ain't what you were getting paid.
It depends sometimes, it really depends sometimes, but you know what? You don't want to take that bargain, because it's so hard to come across jobs out here. So y'all, if you got a job, a 9-to-5 where you can work on your dream, don't be lazy. It is hard work. But at the end of the day, it'll pay off. Y'all always looking at Bill Gates and all these famous people talking about some. Yeah, you know, they worked hard. Yeah, do the same shit, nigga. But other than that, y'all have a good night. It was a great episode. And we'll be back probably Friday talking about some life insurance, because y'all are tired of them GoFundMe. Have a good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.